96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. It's been 3 weeks since iconic actor-comedian Robin Williams took his own life, and his death shocked the nation and put the issue of suicide back in the headlines. Well, tonight, as we recognize National Suicide Prevention Month, we'll hear personal stories of loss, and we'll also offer resources for those dealing with this issue. My guests are Ryan Newcomb. He is the director of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention for D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia. Lisa Daughtry, she lost her 18-year-old son, Ian, to suicide in 2012. And Marge McConnell, she lost her 17-year-old daughter, Allie, to suicide in 2006. They are both board members of AFSP. The lines are open if you have a comment or a question about this issue at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Also, if you believe that you need support or resources regarding issues of suicide, family members, or do you even believe that you may be at risk, there is a suicide prevention lifeline that is provided by our guests. It is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. You can also find out more information by going to suicidepreventionlifeline.org. We will be mentioning this information throughout the program, as it is important that our listeners have it as a resource. Thank you all for coming in. I wanted to first try to address something that has come up when we were inviting our guests in. Ryan, you don't like the term, your organization doesn't like the term committed suicide. Can you explain that, please?
Sure. It's something we're pretty sensitive to, especially when we've lost loved ones to suicide, because when you think of the word commit, it implies a crime has happened. And when someone dies of cancer or has heart disease or diabetes or any other public health issue they're experiencing personally, they don't commit those things. And in the same way, when someone has a mental illness or brain disease, it's not something that they have committed it like a crime. It's something that has occurred as an illness would occur.
And the reason I ask, because the first thing that comes to mind when I think of the word committed, I think of it quite the opposite. I think about committed to a relationship, committing an act of kindness. I think of being committed to a cause. And so I think that some people may be a little confused as to the semantics of that, depending on your point of view.
Sure, and it could be semantics, but I think when most people think, generally, we say commit a crime. That's what you hear most. But if we talk about commitment or it would be semantics, then if we're going into it. But I think that what we have to understand out of all of it is that it is a mental illness, and it's something that people don't choose, and that it's treatable. Suicide is preventable, and depression is treatable, and there are warning signs that you can look for, and that number you gave at the beginning is really important. 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255 at the end. So,
And one of the things also that I mentioned when we were talking about, for example, Robin Williams. Robin Williams had issues related to drugs and alcohol throughout his entire life. He was very public about that. And he also did suffer from depression. But, you know, from your perspective and the organization's perspective, how do you know when someone may be, you know, suicidal, or maybe they just have the blues and just need somebody to talk to? How do you know?
Sure. Well, I think that there's a we have a program actually for teenagers and middle school and high school students called More Than Sad. And I think it's important that we understand that you can be more than just sad, and there can be something clinically wrong with a person who has depression. And I think depression and anxiety can show themselves in many ways. You can see a drastic fluctuation in someone's diet or a drastic fluctuation and change in someone's sleeping habits and eating habits. Sad all the time, feeling like they can't go on. If they say things like, you know, I just don't know if I can make it anymore. Those are things we should take seriously. It's important that we know that it's okay to ask people to, are you thinking about killing yourself? That actually is, as boom out there as it sounds, it's important because it doesn't plant the idea in their head, even though people tend to think that it might. Mm-hmm. But it actually facilitates and opens up an opportunity for a dialogue for people to be able to talk about what they may be going through personally, get them help and get them on, to where they can live a life fully and well.
Lisa, you're nodding your head. I remember, you were very brave. Mm-hmm. You were here literally a week after the death of your son.
Correct.
When you reflect back on that, do you believe that there's something that you missed, or does it, for those who are not familiar with the situation, was it just a complete and horrific surprise for you?
It was a surprise for me. And I think I was talking to Marge. When you're raising your child, and I think times have changed. Back when we were growing up as teenagers, we slept a lot, didn't like school or whatever. But we felt that was typical for most teenagers. And now kids are dealing with so much, starting from middle school, dealing with bullying, self-esteem and so forth. And the possibility of not knowing what's out there for them when they finally finish with school. So when I noticed my son was sleeping a lot, I just thought, okay, it's just like a teenager sleeping. But at the same time, sometimes the person that's smiling the most can be the person that is the saddest. Mm.
I want to hear more about that. And I also, when we come back, we're going to hear from Marge, too. But before I go to a break, I just need to ask both of you one question. How you doing?
After 8 years, I can say that I've doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. I've gained a lot of strength from sharing my story and helping others deal with the loss of their child or loved one. Mm-hmm. And I work every day to promote awareness for our
Lisa,
cause.
Lisa, you doing okay?
Good. I'm doing real good.
Right. We'll be back in just a moment. If you have a question or a comment, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about suicide as we recognize National Suicide Prevention Month. My guests are Ryan Newcomb, Director of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention for D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia. Lisa Daughtry, she lost her 18-year-old son to suicide 2 years ago. And Marge McConnell, she lost her 17-year-old daughter, Allie, to suicide in 2006. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Marge, before I go to you, I want to take a phone call. Let me go to Cedric, calling from Washington, D.C. Cedric, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to say thank you, first of all, for picking up on this subject, because it is something people are now finally talking about, and it is affecting many people in many areas, and it's just an ongoing thing that should never be swept under the rug again. I am a member of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I suffer with depression. I'm 62 years old. I'm HIV positive and have been for 30 years, and I have seen suicide since I was in my teens. The bullying thing was not as bad when I was as young, and it has gone epidemically wild, and kids are killing themselves. But the other thing that people don't talk about are seniors killing themselves. And loneliness is the big thing that I find out with seniors, and I hope you don't forget about that. Mm-hmm. And it is true. It is hard to detect, but it is preventable, mainly through education and information. So I just want to put that out there. Talk about it. Talk to somebody. Get some help from somewhere. Listen to somebody. Just do what you can do to prevent it, because it's not always bad. It can actually help others.
Well, Cedric, thank you so much for your phone call and your strength and your inspiration. And certainly we wish you continued good health. And I wanted to mention, here's the suicide prevention lifeline phone number. It's 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. Marge, I have about 2 minutes, and I wanted you to kind of, you know, share your experience after the loss of your daughter, when you kind of reflect back on what you did and did not know, and the things that you believe may have led up to her passing, and what you can share that perhaps can help others.
Well, I think as Lisa was discussing earlier, we look at what it means to be sad or what children, teenagers typically act like. And I think you have to look overall at the change in pattern. Allie had a diagnosis of clinical depression that we were dealing with over about a 9-month period prior to her loss. We did not have any prior attempts, but we had a lot of different changes in patterns during that time. And I think one of the things that I wish that I knew more about at that time was the warnings that they issue with medications.
Well, hold that point, because I need to take a very short break, and I want you to finish that on the other side. We've got a lot of folks who still want to get in on this, and I must take yet one more break. If you were on the phone, that includes Gerald and Arlene, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141. Stay with us.